1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's stand together, please. Reading in verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading tonight. Let's bow our heads and hearts together and do ask the Lord to give grace and support tonight in the meeting. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for the privilege that we have to be back in the house of God. I'm glad that I can be here tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, that You've given me the health and the strength and the grace and the ability to be in the house of the Lord. I want to thank You for the good songs of Zion that have blessed my soul this evening. Thank You, Lord, for the fellowship of the people of God. I thank You for Thy Word now that is before us. It's been a lamp to my feet all these years, and I thank You and praise You for it. I do thank You tonight, Lord, for the wells of salvation that You've given to Thy people. Help us tonight to drink from great depths. May the Spirit of God magnify the Lord Jesus in this service and manifest Him to every heart. I pray for the liberty, Lord, that's needed to preach the Word of God. I pray You'll touch me and bless me and fill me with Your Spirit. Provide the liberty and the unction tonight, Lord, to preach the gospel. Say a few encouraging words to Your people, and we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The Bible said here in verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach again tonight on the finding of the church. A few things about the formation or the finding of the church in Thessalonica. Now, last Sunday night in our study, we looked at the people that the Lord used in finding that church. We might say that we looked at the companions, those that were companions in forming the church at Thessalonica. And then we looked a little bit at the foundation that church is built upon or was built upon. And tonight I want to turn our attention not so much to the companions there, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, but I want to turn our attention for a little while to the church. I want to thank God for the church. There's not another institution on this earth like the church. And I'm grateful that the Lord has given us a church, a place where we can assemble together and there worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. People today are looking for satisfaction in places of this world and really have no idea that that little building sitting alongside the road that we call the church is where they can find real satisfaction. I know when I was a lost sinner, I looked for satisfaction in everything under this sun that I thought would possibly please this old filthy and vile and wretched soul of mine. But I found that everything that I tried still left an empty place in my heart, and I was just as unsatisfied and displeased after I'd been there and done that as what I ever was. I guess we're kind of all of us like Solomon. We want to try to find the salvation. We want to try to find satisfaction and happiness just about in everything in life, everything under the sun. I mean, men have tried to find satisfaction in liquor, and it only leads down a road of sorrow and misery, and at the end of their life, they'll wind up in a devil's hell without God and without hope. There's people today that try to find their satisfaction in drugs. And that's an empty road. I mean, that's a dead-end road also. I found everything that I tried was just a dead-end road. At the end was only death and misery to follow. But there was a day when the Spirit of God, I had no idea He was working, but the Spirit of God with cords of kindness began to deal in my heart and began to draw me unto Himself. And He threw me down to a little old white block building in Indiana. And it was there for the first time really in my life that I can ever remember. And I was in church and heard preach it. But for the first time in my life, that preaching there struck a chord in my heart that had never been touched before. There were slumbering chords in my heart that yearned and longed for something that would fulfill my life and help me to find happiness in life. But everywhere that I looked, I found only a dead-end road. But on that wonderful Sunday morning, when God with cords of kindness drew me unto Himself and brought me down to that little Baptist church, it was there that I found the well of salvation. It was there that I found the grace of the Lord. It was there that I found Calvary. Oh, and I tell you, hey, He's brought me through all these years, my friend. And as you sang tonight, there's no need to doubt Him now. I want to say I'm just as satisfied in Jesus tonight as I ever was. I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed a lot of times in people. But I'll tell you, I have never, ever been disappointed in Him. He has satisfied the longings of my soul. He has been a companion in my life. He is a brother that sticketh closer than a brother. I found Him to be strength when I'm weak. I found Him to be water when I'm thirsty. I found Him to be power when I needed protection. I have found Him as a shield of faith. I found Him as my hope. I found Him as my charity. I found Him as my glory. I have found Him tonight as my all in all. He satisfies me tonight. That is right. It all got started out that little church. That little church. I tell you, people have such a glib view of the church tonight. Why, we don't really make an honest effort really to assemble. People are never on time. We drag in late. We're not faithful. We're not faithful to the positions that God's allowed us to be in the church. And we take everything for granted. I want to say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if people tonight took for granted everything they do in the church, that they down on the job that they do in church, they wouldn't have a job very long. You can say amen or oh me to that. I've never seen such an irresponsible age that we're living in. It seems that folks absolutely want to take everything for granted at the church. We can either take it or we can leave it. It really doesn't matter, but I'm here to tell you it does matter. I've read in the Bible where it bought the church with its own blood. I'll tell you, we belong to an organization tonight that is not a cheap organization, ladies and gentlemen, but it cost the Son of God the very lifeblood in His body to buy the church that you and I can come and enjoy tonight by the good grace of God. The church. Notice what Brother Paul says here. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus is writing unto the church of the Thessalonians. And notice where this church is at. Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I tell you, that's quite a position. Has it ever occurred to you tonight that you're in God the Father? And you're also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that's double security to our soul. And what a wonderful position that is. What a wonderful place that is to be. That tells me that everywhere God goes, I'm with Him. Because I'm in Him. That tells me that everything that He says, I hear it. Because I'm in Him. That tells me that everything He does, I'm aware of it tonight because I'm in Him. And there I'm protected. And there I'm sheltered. And there I'm blessed. And there I'm graced because my life is hid with Christ in God tonight. Amen. Anybody listening? What a position. Folks today looking for positions on the job. They want a higher paying position. But I'll tell you, I'm glad I've got a position that's in Him. I'd rather be in Him than any place else in the world. I used to have that stupid old television show on. I can't remember the name of it, but they was a moving on up to the north side or whoever it was, south side. They had done found their piece of cake or what it is, piece of pie in the sky, and they are moving on up. But they really thought they had a position. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no possession tonight like a possession that you and I have, because we're in God the Father and we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. Now you stay right with me. Notice now that position in God the Father. Now every creature is really in God. Now stay right. I didn't say God the Father. Stay with me. I'll teach you some things tonight. Every creature has a position in God. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Hall, I don't believe that." Then let me read a long passage of Scripture to you that's found in Acts 17 when Paul stood on Mars Hill and preached to those that Athens there on Mars Hill. The Bible said in that chapter, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him. Get this now, and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Here's the line. For in Him we live and move and have our being. I want to say that every creature of God is in God as a creature, ladies and gentlemen, and they are dependent upon God for the natural life that He gives. That's right. We're dependent upon Him for the air that we breathe. The very water that He gives us to drink. Food that we put in our belly. Can you imagine the billions of people on this earth? And as I drive through the country and look at fields that are standing empty in America, and I wonder where in the world does enough food come from to feed the whole entire world? I'll tell you, the only answer can be, ladies and gentlemen, from God. We are His creatures. I want to say, if you're here tonight and lost and without God, you are a creature of God, and you've got to depend upon God for a natural life that He gives, and God will provide that for you as long as you're upon this earth. But my text did not say, in God. It said, in God the Father. Oh, there's a big difference tonight between a creature and a child of God. Now don't run off and leave me now. Come on now. There's a big difference tonight between just a creature and a child of God. As a creature, we're in God, but as a child, we're in God the Father. What a position, ladies and gentlemen, to have. We're not just in God, but we're in God, and God is our Father tonight. That brings us into a wonderful, wonderful relationship with the great Creator, that others in this world that are lost and without Him know absolutely nothing about tonight. What a wonderful relationship that is to have Him as God the Father. As creatures, we're said to be in God, but as children, We're in God the Father. And it's in the Father that grants us a special relationship that those that are without do not have. May I say that in Him tonight, we have redemption. Thanks be unto God for redemption. We sang that old song, Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. Redeemed or something like that. I'm happy I am tonight. And I'll tell you, we ought to be happy tonight because our possession in God the Father brings us into a redemptive way with Him. We are the redeemed of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. By the way, we ought to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That crowd out yonder knows nothing about redemption. Most folks don't even know what redeemed means. It means to be bought out of the slave market of sin. We were on the devil's auction block, ladies and gentlemen, and we're being sold there as slaves under sin. But I'm glad that Jesus paid the price and redeemed us out of that slave market of sin and brought us into a relationship with the Father. That's wonderful. In the Father, we have redemption. And the Bible said there's plenteous redemption in Him. Plenteous redemption. Amen. He's got enough to save any old sinner tonight. Bless His wonderful name. You hang right with me. The Bible said in Colossians 1:13-14, said, giving thanks, here it is, unto the Father. Have you given thanks unto the Father today? Have you thanked the Father today that the fact that you're redeemed? Have you thanked Him today for the fact that you're in Him? Have you thanked Him today because He is your Father? And because He is our Father, He sent His Spirit into our hearts. And I'll tell you, if you're really saved, that Spirit within your heart will cry out on the Father unto Him. There ain't no doubt about it, buddy. I've heard this old junk, well, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Hogwash. Praise God. If you ever got drug out of a lake while you was drowning and got on the shore, would you know whether you was on the shore or still drowning? If you were ever dead and been resurrected, would you know whether you're dead or alive? Sure you would. Oh yes, we know whether we're saved. There is a Spirit within us that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Anybody going to help me? Give Him thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Thank God we're redeemed tonight. He's writing to the church that is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not writing to a bunch of religious hypocrites and heathens. He is writing to those that's been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God, born again into the family of God. God's children, ladies and gentlemen. There's a difference in writing a letter to your children and writing one to a total stranger. Miss Hall been getting something on her email list from a man wanting on that email list. And she didn't know how to answer it. She said, will you write him for me? I said, sure. I wrote him a real nice letter yesterday. Nice, really. And he said Miss Hall was unchristian because she wouldn't let a man on a list with all these women. Said she's unchristian. So I wrote back and told him how unchristian he was for a man wanting to be on a list with a bunch of married women. And I said, you're the one that's being unchristian. I signed it, my name to it. Well, I got a letter back from him today. He said, sir, you're the one that's being unchristian. Did it ever occur to you there might be a lot of single or divorced ladies on that list that would just love to talk to a 31-year-old man? I wrote him back another nice letter. And then I'll tell you, on that nice letter, I said, dear Stuart, I said, thank you for responding so quickly to my letter that I wrote. I said, I still believe you're the one that's being unchristian. I said, do you realize that on this list that these ladies may say things that are very intimate and ladylike things that men ought never to hear? And I said, if you went on that list, I'm sure that it's because of ulterior motives you have in your heart. I said, it'd be a good thing, sir, if you would forget that list. And by the way, just keep your nose out of it and sign my name to it. Amen. I was real kind as I got to that last little old line. No, that's right. I'm telling you, hey, if I'm writing to my children, I'm going to write words of endearment and love. If I'm writing to a total stranger, it's going to be a great different letter that I write. And I'm telling you, throughout the book of Thessalonians, Paul is writing to those that are in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's writing to the children of God. And there's some dear and precious things that he's writing in that book. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Old Brother Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it amazes me that he calls gold and silver corruptible things. I tell you, two of the most precious metals on the earth, and yet he calls them corruptible things. And what he's saying is, there is no price on this earth that can buy your salvation, but you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, who is what is much more precious than all the gold and silver in this world, along with all the oil, the gems, and the jewels. His blood is more precious than all the money of the world. That's right. Redeemed with a real price. God the Father considered His blood more precious than all of the precious metals that are under this earth that He put there, by the way. Amen. To be a blessing to you and I that are upon this earth. Amen. God bless His wonderful name tonight. Yeah. I want to bless Him and thank Him for loving me enough to die for me. I could yet be out in sin. We could all yet be heathens. God could have left us ignorant. God could have left us without learning and without understanding. But He sent His Spirit into our hearts and give us a hope of glory in our soul and give us an understanding of the love of God. Amen. What a God we have redeemed. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. You folks that's lost tonight, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? This young teenage generation, I'm going to tell you, it's either in some kind of an old junky truck. That's right, jacked up in the air, it looks stupid. Or in some old motorcycle. Come on, in the house. That's where their treasure is. I'd hate to think the most valuable thing to me is something that no more will set there and rust away and decay. Some folks, their treasure is in their homes that they have. And a lot of folks champion the luxurious homes that they live in, but I'm telling you, they're made out of earthly materials and worldly materials that will vanish away. I'm telling you that my treasure tonight is laid up in heaven. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and it's on the altar in glory tonight, and it will never corrupt, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. For the silver and gold will corrupt, His blood will never corrupt. It is incorruptible. Just as fresh today as it was the day He shed it. Amen. We got in Mexico. One of the churches put a big painting up on the wall behind the pulpit down there in the tabernacle, and had Psalm 78, I think 6 and 7 or 7 and 8, something like that on it. And they put the hands, supposedly the hands of Jesus. I'm not crazy about that, but, you know, I didn't mind it. It wasn't really that bad. But they had the hands of Jesus there, had the prints, the nail prints in his hands, and the blood dripping from them still red and fresh. I said, at least they've got an understanding of that precious blood, that incorruptible blood. May I say, just as the Word, as I said this morning, is an incorruptible Word, even so the blood of the Lamb of God is an incorruptible blood tonight. That old junk I now have is royal blood flowing through my veins. You ain't got an ounce of royal blood in your veins. Let somebody cut your throat, and I tell you, your love, your blood will corrupt very quickly, ladies and gentlemen, and turn to a substance very, very dark and very thick and very dry. Amen. Ain't no royal blood in our veins. Amen. He didn't put it in our veins. Amen. In fact, there's no royal blood in His veins. The blood that was in the darling Lamb of God is on the mercy seat in heaven tonight, where He paid for our sins. Amen. Thank God by the blood tonight that we are in God the Amen. Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We have redemption as being in God the Father. I want to say we have a relationship in God the Father. He is our Father tonight. We're His children and He is our Father. And in being that, as the Father, He provides for us. Miss Hall and the choir sing tonight, no need to doubt Him now. You know why? I'll tell you, His treasure house has never been depleted one bit. His grace is just as plenteous today as it was when He created this world. He's just as wealthy today as He ever was. I'll tell you, you cannot deplete one thing from God. He is very God tonight. Get that in your little mind. That God cannot be depleted from, and neither can God be added to. God is just God tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You can add nothing to Him or take nothing away from Him. He's God. Amen. And He provides. Why would we doubt God's provisions tonight? Why would we doubt God's ability to deliver us tonight? And to bless us and help us. He took nothing in His right hand. Are you listening to me? He took nothing in His right hand and sprinkled every star that's up yonder in those galaxies into their place. And He hung the moon over here and the sun over there and said, "Stay there!" He separated the earth from the firmament above. And brought the waters upon the face of the earth. And looked at the waters and said, "Stay where you are." And they stayed there all these years. It has rained and rained and rained and rained. And yet the waters have never overflowed this earth again. I'm telling you, He's God and He'll provide for us. Got the idea that He's just a little old wimp that, you know, sitting up there. And when we want Him, all we got to do is pull His chain. He's not Santa Claus. He's a great God of glory. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll shout if you won't. Woo! I can shout on my own preaching. Amen! Old Brother C.J. Burns said, "Preacher, did you ever get blessed by your own preaching?" I said, "Every now and then." He said, "I got blessed by my own singing last night." I said, "I'm glad. I'd hate to think you'd sing it wouldn't touch you." I'd hate to think I was sitting under a preacher capricious. It didn't touch him. It touches me, buddy. Amen. There's a fellow down here by the lake. I saw his wife Friday night. Spoke to her and she wasn't too friendly. He was preaching and pastoring in church 14 years before he ever got saved. I thought, my God, man can't even preach himself under conviction. He's in bad shape, ladies and gentlemen. If 14 years of his own preaching don't do a thing for him, hell on heaven's name, does he ever expect to do anything for anybody else? God, help us tonight. I'll throw that in. God provides for His people. Israel come out of Egypt and God sent manna out of heaven for them to eat. He gave them angels food. I'll tell you, when they murmured and complained because to the white bread. God gave them quail food to eat. Brought quails in, my friend, by the thousands to feed that crowd. I'm talking about over a million. God fed with quail meat every evening and bread every morning. God took a prophet named Elijah and gave him water out of a brook when there was no rain in the heaven, and gave him bread and flesh in the morning. And I'm telling you, God will provide for His people. Amen. We don't have to resort to the world and worldly means for our provisions. God provides. Listen to what Brother Peter said, and I don't have time to read all of it. Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3, said, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look right up here and get a hold of this. He's not given you that by degree. He hath already given you all things. Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Open your Bible and read it. Hath already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, if He's already given them to us, why are we living in poverty tonight? In other words, He's already made the provision. He has already set everything aside right over here that you and I need, ladies and gentlemen, to get us from the cross to glory. He's already provided it, got it laid aside, just like old Joseph laid up the corn and the wheat down in Egypt for those 7 years of famine. God's already laid it up. It's there. All we need to do is go to the grain bins and get a little. When was the last time you made a trip to the grain bin? Huh? Got a little wheat for your bread, a little warm loaf from the oven. Why are we perishing tonight spiritually? Why are we drying up spiritually? It's not that we got to beg God for it. It's already provided. Amen. We just got to come boldly to the throne of grace, and God will meet it out to us as we need it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. He provides as our Father. He protects as our Father. God will protect you. Said in Psalm 27, 28, 7 through 9, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Save the people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. I want you to hear me well. He's anointed His, He has anointed His Son, and His Son has anointed us. Can you get a hold of that? Amen. And in doing so, we are under the protective canopy of God. God protects us. I left here this morning. Don't want to shake nobody up right here. Don't want nobody to get too bent out of shape now when I tell you this. But I left here this morning and I said, Sister Hall, somebody left the house of God this morning in one of two ways. They had either sinned away their day of grace or they're possessed by a devil, one of the two. And I'll tell you, buddy, I'm not afraid of that devil-possessed egg sucker either. Amen. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. He is my saving strength. God is my shield. God is my high tower. God will protect His own. God's got a hedge about us tonight. And all the devil can do is look at you with a little glibby frown on his face and growl a little bit. But we are protected by the almighty hand of God. Amen. I'm not so sure that ain't one of our problems. There's a devil in here. Amen. I won't charge you nothing for that. Somebody said, I don't believe it. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we better start believing that men can be possessed by the devil. God, I'm telling you, the devil knows how to bring them into God's house and set them right where he wants to set them and do the damage that he wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Protection. He protects his own as he did Job. And he'll protect us today also. If we're in God the Father, can you get a hold of that? For the devil to get a hold of you, he's got to come through God. We are in God the Father. I won't charge you nothing for this either. Come on in the house. We're preaching a little bit tonight. We're meddling. I'm going to tell you something else. I believe there's somebody in here tonight. I want you to listen to me. I believe there's somebody in here tonight that has listened, that has been offended by somebody. Come on in the house now. They have been offended by somebody. And that somebody that offended them, this individual is playing right into their hands, doing exactly what they want them to do, and they're standing back and laughing at that individual. And that person don't have enough sense to see it. Somebody has offended somebody. You know, when people get offended a lot of times, you know how I know how, when my wife is offended, Brother Doug? In other words, she don't talk. Some, I've been around a lot of people in church in the years I've pastored, and a lot of them get offended, and they want to run their mouth. They want to let you know, buddy, how mad they are. But I've seen other folks get offended, and they just shut up.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I believe we got an individual like that in the building tonight. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're playing right into the hand of somebody. And that somebody has got them right where they want them, and they ain't got enough sense to see it. You're playing the part of an idiot. Boy, it's getting quiet. I tell you, I don't know any other way to get to the bottom of the mess but to blow out the best way I know how. And let the chips fall where they may, win, lose, or draw, but we've got the handsome God back at Island Ford Baptist Church. That's right. I wouldn't let somebody criticize me and badmouth me and cause me to clam up on my God and act like I'm a stepchild in God's house. I wouldn't let somebody do me that way. Stand back and laugh at me. I'm telling you, the devil will do people that way. They won't sit back and laugh at them. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. We're preaching a little bit. So we have a relationship. We have redemption. We have a relationship. That relationship provides and protects. I want to say we have a habitation. We are in God the Father. We have God a dwelling place. Anybody ever read that book? God, Our Dwelling Place. That's where we live, ladies and gentlemen, in Him. Can you get a hold of that? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And being not of this world, we are a spiritual being in God the Father. Come on now. I'll tell you, some of you are wiggling and twitching. Who's Brother Hall talking about? Well, you'll find out one of these days. When the devil reveals what he wants. I mean, when the Lord reveals the devil in the way he wants to reveal him, we'll find out. Come on, boys and girls. Whoop! Psalm 91:1, the Bible said, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank God that we have a dwelling place in Him tonight. Church, that ought to rejoice our heart and bless our soul to know that we are in God the Father tonight. We have a place of habitation. And when I say habitation, I'm not talking about something temporary. It's a permanent habitation that we have. I've heard of Humana for Habitat or Habitat Humanity or something of this or that. They talk about people's habitation and animals' habitation, put them in their own habitat. Can you get a hold of that? A deer's habitat is in the woods. That thing that Brother Robert's brother had over there was an exception to the rule on that. I don't understand all that about that deer. I'm telling you. But their habitat's in the woods and in the field and in the wild. They're not at home, ladies and gentlemen, walking up and down the streets out here. They wouldn't live very long out there. Not in Kentucky, no how. That's not their habitat. And I'm telling you, we're in God. That is our place of habitation. We dwell in Him. In the secret place. Under the shadow. Under the shadow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. Just like an old mother hen spreads her wings and lets those little chickens flock under those wings. God's children have flocked under the shadow of the Almighty. Boy, y'all's really worried. I can tell y'all just a thinking. Some of you just a thinking and a pondering what I said. It'd be good for you. It'd be good for you. Go home and sleep on it. Think about it. That's right. Go home and think about it. We have a habitation. I like this one most of all. You're not going to get it either. We have a home. Hallelujah. There's no place like home, ladies and gentlemen. John 14:2, he said, in my Father's house. Now, can you get a hold of that? There is God. There is God, the creator of all things. And His Son, the Lord Jesus, says about Him, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He attributes a house to the Father and a mansion to you and I. Oh, what a great God we have. That has such a large house. And I'm going to say, I believe the reason He put house, that's the best thing to a home. Oh, God help us. There's no place like home, son. You can take your shoes off and rest. Close out the world around you. You don't have to listen to the boop, bop, 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 hoop, bop music. And you don't have to listen to people cussing. I tell you, I do eat out on Sundays. Miss Hall and I went down here to Country Cumber and eat out today. And sat there, and there's four people, two men, two women sitting over front. And all them two women did was laugh and giggle and count like a bunch of fools. The men joined right in. They had everybody in there staring at them. I sat there, I couldn't take no more. I told Miss Hall, I said, are you ready to go? I've got to get out of this mess. I can't handle that junk. Thank God I've got a home over on Allenford Road. I can go in and shut the door and lock the door and lock that mess out from behind me. But I've got a home in heaven. Woo! Where I can kick my shoes off and rest. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a Pepsi-Cola in the refrigerator. And a bag of peanuts in the pantry. And a zero candy bar on the shelf. I'm making all that up now. You know what I'm trying to say. It's a home. And son, we can make ourselves at home in God's house. Amen. Hey, this is God's family. We are a family, ladies and gentlemen. And as a family, we ought to be able to take every problem and that comes to every member of the family. And we ought to be able to work our way through that. As I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. I want to ask you something. For instance, we'll just take old Benny here. We went out there and walked around in the woods the other day. And old Benny's right leg was just eat up. I thought it was chiggers at first, but I think it's turkey mites. All just eat all over. When he come to the house yesterday, I didn't say, what? You ain't come to the house, son. Got turkey mites on your leg. We're a family. Amen. If he's got the mites and he gives me the mites, we'll fight the mites together. Amen. Come on in the house. We're a family. We're a home. This is a home. We're in God. We're in God. Hallelujah. Josh had some chiggers all over him the other day. Miss Hall said, give him somebody stuff to put on his legs, them chigger bites. She said, will it burn him? I said, no, it don't burn, but I hope it does. My mom used to tell me, if it don't burn, don't help. That's right. If it don't taste bad, it's not good for you. Family! Amen. Yep. I remember several years ago we had a camp meeting, and after the camp meeting, everybody got sick.
But everybody as a family got through it all right. I tell you, as a family, we ought to be able to work through every little problem that the devil wants to send our way. And I'm telling you, the devil will send little nitpicking nothings in to the family, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the fellowship and turn out the work of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have a home. We can find rest and refreshment. We're not only in God the Father, and I've got to close, but we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll not tarry long here. Stay right with me. Notice the full title that he gives to the Lord here. It doesn't just say Jesus. It doesn't say Christ. It doesn't say the Lord, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his full title. Now get a hold of this. This full title connects his authority with his manhood and his glory. The Lord, that's his authority. Jesus, his manhood, and Christ, his eternal glory. And they're all, and we're in that. Should I say we're in him? God, woo, hallelujah to God. That means I am under his authority. I'm identified with him in his manhood. And he has filled me with his glory. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
If you can get a hold of that, it'll put a little glory in your soul.
Yes,
amen. Amen. His person, Jesus. That's his manhood. The Bible said we're identified with him in his manhood in Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In verse 16, prior to that, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm simply saying, as Jesus tonight, that's his manhood. If you can get a hold of this, he hurt in his body. He grew tired in his flesh. He thirsted and hungered in his flesh. He had pain in his body. And he had sorrow and grief and hurt in his body. And he had all that to identify with you and I. In our manhood. Are you listening? I don't think too many of you do. I think you're still back yonder on that devil possession. Or on the turkey mites. But you will get over it. If you're saved, you will. I'll run that by you. If you're saved, you will. Man, that's right. In his power, his authority, Lord. We're in him. And authority over. He has authority over us. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What power he has. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as his glory. I find there is preservation. In Jude 1, we're sanctified by God the Father. There it is. Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. I want everybody to get a hold of this, and I'm done. And I see our position in him as the Lord Jesus Christ. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're in him. What a position to have. And in him we ought to yield to his commandments. As in him we ought to yearn for his companionship. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, and then finally, I'm closing this. If we're in him, I see our position and I see our power. What did he say in John 17? When he prayed that intercessory prayer, he said, me and you, Father, and you and me, as they are in me and I'm in them. They are in me and I'm in them. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. That's power, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody in here ever see any iron? Ever been around any ironworks?
You ever see any iron melted down? Huh?
They heat that. You seen it, Brother George? They heat that iron with fire, right? Well, they put that iron in the fire, right? When that iron gets hot, could you say that the fire is in the iron? Can you get a hold of that? The iron's in the fire, and the fire's in the iron. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in Him, and He is in us. Now, that's a position to have. The church. What a wonderful place it is when everything's running smooth. And I found out a long time ago that families have problems, and so do churches. And I also found out a long time ago that men work through problems, and they're men about it.
Right.
I close with this. Brother Gene Mathias called me the other day, and we were talking about a little situation, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Brother Gene said, you know what I think about it, preacher? He said, I think people need to grow up and be men. Just grow up and quit being children about everything. Grow up. Let's stand together.